believe, you know, that you are. Anyway, my voice project so far. Did you hear me, Sister Adea, Brother Ben? You hear me? See, you don't even mics. My voice can project. And since I've been doing it for so long, when I'm at home and I'm talking to my wife, she said, "What are you yelling?" Because I'm adjusted to project my voice out, you know, to open and enunciate, you know, make sure that everybody gets it. But I had to tone it down at home anyway. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Someone that is after you to rob you of your everything he can. To tell you that you are not who you are. He wants to give you a different identity. He wants to take yours and make you believe that you are who you think you're not. Or you are who you think you are, whatever, you know. We got astray before the service is over anyway. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Father, we adore you. Father, I don't know what life will be without you. Not at this point. I don't think I can go back. Father, I cannot see myself every day without you because I need you. Every day I have need of you, Father. And the closer and closer we come to you, Father, we get closer to you, we draw to you, Father, the more I understand that I need you. So tonight, Father, it's no difference. We invite you to come. We already sung. We invited you to come. Now we need you to come and anoint the service from the pulpit to the back door. Father, open, as our brother said, that connection or communication, Father, channel and speak to our hearts tonight, Father, because that is what a relationship is, connectionship from the bride to the bridegroom, Father. Father, I know that all is well with our souls tonight. So we thank you for that, Father. It doesn't matter what comes, what goes. Thank you, Father, for keeping us and caring for us and loving us, protecting us. Father, you do so many things. Thank you for your many blessings. Father, now we give the service to you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you, musician. You can be seated. I got a lot in my fork. But before I start, I want to ask you something. I'd like to, for you to remember me in your prayers. No, I'm not going to go away. Sorry to disappoint you. But I'm going to go away. So I'm going to visit my daughter pretty soon. So this will be my last service with you this year, and I'll see you next year, okay? So, just pray for a trip, maybe next week. First, I had to stop in New Mexico, in Española, and speak for Brother Manuel. And then I spent a weekend there, you know, two, 3 days. And then I continue heading to Michigan. So, keep us in prayer, and we'll see you after the new year. Seems like it's far away. Oh, I'm glad it's far away. Well, finally, you take a vacation from me, okay? Yeah, you're going to miss me anyway. Thank you, brother. At least I got one amen. That's one more than you got. All right. Like I said, I got a lot. Let me stop talking so much. So, continue. Just praying for the family of God anyway, around the world. Things are getting chaotic. Things are getting difficult everywhere we go. Okay, let me see if I can see where I'm supposed to go. Wow, that's not my files. Excuse me just for a minute. Let me see. Here we are. Okay, technology. So I'd like to revisit a couple of subject that I spoke before, like a year ago. I spoke about vision. Almost a year was back December. And I want to revisit some of the subjects that I spoke during this year. So I'm trying to just close my year today. And then move on to new things and better things next year. Amen. So Proverbs 29:18. You know this by memory. We used it many times. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. And we said that the definition of a vision, I don't know if I put it there, is the act and the power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. We cannot be what we cannot perceive ourselves. And it's only by revelation we're going to understand that a little better. But you cannot be what you want to be unless you can see it, perceive that. Okay? Because you want to mimic that. And if you don't know what it is, you'll never become that. So you have to. And that's what faith is all about. Because faith is the evidence that what we hope for will actually happen. See? But before something happens, you have to know what you want. You have to perceive what you need. Because if it's not that, then you'll be shooting at the air, you know, and hitting nothing. So your faith looks at the unseen that nobody else can see but you. And you can grab, you can go, your faith can go and reach all that you have need. I mean, the faith is so strong that you sometimes you can almost see it. You can almost feel it. I mean, it has to be that real to you. That you almost, it's there, it's yours. And once you do that, then your faith, you know, will move in. Brother Branham says in 61:20, says, in the garden of Eden, Satan chose his part of a man. He chose his head, his intellectual. God took his heart. The intellectual will reason. Why? Well, I am this, I am that, I am this way. You will never get anywhere with God there. So start making excuses. He already said you ain't get anywhere with excuses, right? For me, those are excuses. I am the way I am because this happened to me. Okay. So how far are you going to go with that? I understand where you are. Let me know where you're going. It's what I want to know. Or that is the way you're going to be the rest of your life. We don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. I want change in my life. So you cannot use those. Well, those are excuses. And we need to get rid of excuses. This time of the game, we need to start learning to look at what we want and not what we are. Okay? So, he says, you will never get anywhere with it there, but you, your heart, your faith will make you believe things that your mind know nothing about it. See, God speaks to your heart. And Satan, not even you. You know, the Holy Spirit comes down, the unctions come down, and the mind don't know what's going on. Well, I'm just walking like I'm drunk. You know, mind do not understand the things of God. And I'm glad. You cast down reasoning. So you must be positive. Okay, here we go. Intellectualism, excuses. For me, that's negative. Brother Man says, let's see, must be positive. And you stay until you are positive. See? Then when you are positive, there's nothing can turn you. So what is he saying? Well, you have positive, you know, life is positive and negative. Hate and love is the law of contrast. So, you know, this hand is casting a shadow. And the further I move away from, the faded it gets, you know, you can hardly see. You cannot tell, I don't know, it's a spot, it's a black spot, it's a dirt in the, No, it's still there. But the closer that shadow starts moving to the real, so it gets more defined. Now you start seeing, you know, fingers and, oh, I know what it is. So the closer it gets, the closer, you know, you can determine what you're looking at. So you are the negative, actually. But you have a theophany up there that is a positive. But the closer you start getting to that, what you want to be, the closer you get to the Word of God and what God wanted you to be from the beginning, you should be realizing who you are. Because the more clear the mirror gets, the closer you get, the more clear the vision gets of who you are. And it's there for a reason, so you can become that. It's not there for you to look good. Oh, I'm, you know, looking good today, you know, combing your hair and make sure every hair is in the plate. That's not what that mirror is there. It's the mirror of the word. So that's what Brevan says, positive. So the same thing with faith. If you need something, healing, you have situation, you have problems, all you have to do, your faith is to move towards what God says. He is your healer. God already says salvation is yours and you have the right of being healed. That's it. When he saved you, he not only healed you from the soul, but your natural body has been healed as well. So if whatever you need, you have to be able to look into the mirror of the Word of God and decide, that's mine. Every word, every promise is mine. And then you start one, meditating on that until you can just almost see it, you know. And once you see it, you start reaching to it. And once it comes together, there's no way nobody turn you back. You know, I cannot turn back. I won't turn back. You know why? Because when he saved me, when I received this message that he came and did all that for me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, that's a dream to me. That was a vision to me. You know, there's no way Satan can turn me back at this point. I don't care. I'm not afraid to say he can never, ever turn me back around. Why? Because my God is greater, bigger, better, stronger. Because he promised me that. So I'm not afraid to make those statements, you know, because God is the one that's fighting for me. It's not by might, you know how good I am, but it's by his Holy Spirit, says the Lord. So I ain't got no dog in that fight. None at all. Eli is gone. He is the one doing everything for me. And I'm depending on him, and I have confidence in his word. You got to see it that way. If not, you're going to spin your heels all the time. You got to see what you want. You have to be able to perceive by the word of God. It has to come a reality to you. We can read it from the Bible. Oh, I believe that. Okay, good. Now we need to become that. These words are supposed to become flesh at the end. It's going to take a little bit more than just, oh, yeah, the word of God says it. Well, believe it. Now let's start becoming. You know how to do it. He will do it. All we have to do is surrender to him and believe his word. This is so easy. Don't not make it so hard. All we have to do is surrender our life. He says, this is how it's going to happen. The three kind of believers. A little boy one time down here in Kentucky, rise way up in the mountain. He never been around where there was a looking glass. Very much had a mirror, I guess. Well, they had a little piece of tack up on a tree, you know, a piece of glass maybe, or bottle or something. But he had never seen himself. He says, he come here to Louisville, and he was tall, and stay with his mother's sister, and she lived in one of these nice homes, old-fashioned homes, I guess in the city, where they went into one of the bedrooms that had a door that had a mirror all up, it, you know, along and all way up and down the door, see? And when the little fellow started to run through the house, he stopped. Little Johnny saw little Johnny. Whoa. Never seen a glass. And he scratched, you know. And the little Johnny in the mirror scratched. Remember, Alvaro did that. Anyway, that's another story. Little grass scratched and he scratched. And he jumped up and down. And the little Johnny jumped up and down in the mirror. See? He woke up real close. He thought if I was a little boy, he could play with. So he woke up directly. He pecked on the glass and he turns around and his parent was watching him and he says, "Mama, that's me." See, when you look at the word, at the mirror of the word of God, you should be able to see yourself. Amen. And you're supposed to say, "Papa, that's me." See, 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face, beholding," open face means that we don't have a veil any longer. The veil has been removed. We can see him, you know, clear. See, we don't have no veil like it was before. Face, beholding what? The word. The word is the mirror. The word is God. God is the word. As in a glass, the glory of Jesus, see, the glory, Jesus was God's glory. In the beginning was the word was with God, and became what? Flesh. And then you go to John 1:14, it says, "And we beheld his what?" The only way you can behold the glory of God is in Jesus. And that's the same thing today. The word. Jesus is a pattern. See, he says, and then he says, "Of the Lord are changed into the same image." What image? I want to be like Jesus. That's what we sing. That's what we said. Because that is the image. That is the gospel. That is the image of God. His word. See? The same image. I want to be transformed in that image that he has before the foundation of the world. From glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord, who is the Spirit and Word. And then we go to John, 1 John 3:2 said, "Beloved, now are we." I'm not going to be. Now we are sons of God. But you need to find out yourself in the scriptures. He tells me that I am. It behooves me to go and look at myself. To look in the mirror and find myself in the scriptures. Because I am now. And if that not yet appears, what we shall be, we still work in process. It's all a process. But we know that when he shall appear. See, a brother Doug preached that nice scripture that says our lives are hid in Christ. And when Christ's lives appear, we appear. Why? Because we are hidden where? Your real you is real in Christ. This is not but my real self. He said, and when he appears, then we shall what? Be like him. So, see, we have things to look forward to. We need things to work towards to. We ain't got no time to relax. There's a lot of work to be done, even though we are so close. But we're almost there. The last 5 miles of the marathon is the worst ones. You know, the first 20, you can get there, you know, with the help of the team. But the last one, whoever gets there first, the team disbands and everybody, whoop, take off. And you better have the goods to make it the last 5 miles. So it's not time to relax, but it's time to look at the finish, you know, copy. And Lord, be unto me. That's what I want to be. Find out where the shortcomings are. Let God just chisel away that is not you and let you become what he wants you to become before the foundation. So that is the positive. Now let's look at the negative because Satan shows the head. So, and Satan, like I said, is a mind hacker. You know, today everybody's hacking everybody. You know, Russia, and the United States, China. You know, we're doing it too. We just saying now we're not what we're doing it. We're spying. We try to rob data and information, and people are trying to rob your little money you have in your little bank, and they send you emails, and they're trying to get your information. They use programs, and they use deceitful ways and illegal ways, but they try to get your information so they can clean you out. And Satan is still doing that too. He uses the mind because the mind has access to the system. But also the Spirit of God has access to this system. And the thing is that we have to keep him down and keep him out. But he tries to get in. And he trying to manipulate you and me in the best way he can. So we can open up and let it come in. See? How he comes in? Just take a little thought. He will tempt you with a thought. As I told you last time. That thought is just a thought. You have not seen. Temptation is a thought. So where it comes a thought. But if you dwell in that thought and you decide to own the thought, then your body will what? Line up to the thought. So the only thing you have to do is to not own the thought. It's not yours. It is Satan. You can discern the thoughts. The Spirit of God is don't do evil things. The Spirit of God in me is not dirty. The Spirit of God in me is holy and clean. And wants to do all things that are good and right. So I know what's and what's not. So when I see a thought that don't become me, okay, thank you. Adios. I don't have to dwell in it. I haven't done anything. It's not my thought. He wants me to own it so I can pay for it. But no, he's going to pay for that thought. It's not my thought. When a woman comes in from my car halfway naked, that's not my thought. Just turn the way so you can have it. That's your thought. You pay for it. Because I, my Holy Spirit, it's not a nasty Holy Spirit. It's not a dirty Holy Spirit. So that's not my thought. You can have it. That is not me. And we move on. But if we sit there and contemplate and a second look, a third look, then, well, you own it. So your body's going to lie long to your thoughts. Then you figure out why do we fail again? Well, because we got tempted and just admit it and God forgive me, have grace and get up and move on. But Satan hacked. He corrupt things. The thing that God has created, that is his goal, corrupt. And he came to steal, to corrupt, and to destroy. Luke 22:31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to what? To sift you like wheat. You know? That's what Satan wanted to do to you and me. And then if you go to 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring lion, walks about seeking who what? He wants to destroy you. You know? And maybe he will not destroy you, but don't let Satan use you so you can speak words to destroy somebody else. If you don't have words to edify somebody, then it's not God. Don't use them. Because that's what Brother Van says, it's not your brother and your city, it's Satan. Satan will put things like that. Listen, this is a fight to the end. Amen. I was telling my grandson, Elliot, I said, we were talking about these things. I was warming up for my sermon with an 8-year-old. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how that worked out? He says, he asked a lot of questions, so I had to tell him. So that was what we was talking about, you know. But it is a fight to the end. And he told me, fight what? Well, spiritually and physically. He said, what is physically? It's natural. It is. See, we don't throw punches and kick and do all this stuff. You know, in the natural, you do that. But that's not how we fight. The spiritual fights. He said, what is a spiritual fight? Well, spirits and demons that come in that you cannot see. How can you fight something that you cannot see? So what do we do? Well, we have other weapons that are not natural, that are supernatural. They, you know, anyway, I was just warming up with him. And we were talking, and we had this kind of conversation. Those kids, they're smarter than me when I was that age. You know, all I wanted was to steal money and get candies. I told you. I mean, I wasn't worried about anything else. I don't know. That's the spirit that was in me when I was growing. I have more than one, in fact. But we're not going to go there anyway now because that's in the past anyway. So that's the negative side. He wants to destroy you. And he will take advantage of every opportunity that you open with. That's why you have to be careful. Be vigilant. Any info, you crack the door just to see who is in there and he stick his foot in there. And he will stay there until you, you know, open the door. Don't give him an inch. Because he will take a food and everything. Be vigilant. Vigilant is as soon as you see, hear, or a thought that is not becoming, it's not yours. Toss it out. So these computer hackers, they are unauthorized users anyway. They're not supposed to be doing the things they do. They like to break in your computer system and steal or change. Or sometimes they want to destroy the information. And that's what Satan likes to do. He don't want you to realize, to know who you are. And all the information that you need is in the Bible. So what he tried to do? Discredit the Bible. See? By the things that we see, that we feel, that we hear. You know, well, I prayed for you yesterday. You were sick and bad, but I'm still sick today. Well, that's what he wants you to believe. Because if you have faith and you believe that Yah prayed for you the last time, and I said, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you are healed. Now, which one are you going to believe? Satan is going to leave you alone. It's going to hack your thought right away. He's going to say, well, you look the same. In fact, you look worse. Don't think about it. Or you have to say it by faith. If you really believe them, I'm healed. But I'm lying. No, you're not lying. He is lying. He's a liar to begin with. So as soon as he's moving his lip and talking to you, he's lying. You are telling him the truth. The truth is, I'm healed. And he said, but look at you. I said, I don't want to look at my situation. I don't want to look at myself. I'm looking at the word of God. He said, I'm healed and I am healed. Amen. Yeah, but you don't look like you're going to last. It doesn't matter if I like a minute or not. But I know I'm healed. That's all. You have to be very vigilant because Israel is ready to take away. You know, if we take a step towards our theophany, we take a step toward where we have to fight like dearly. You know, taking a step toward the theophany is the easy part. Taking the word by faith is an easy part. It's just to keep it and sustain it and maintain it. Because Satan is going to come and want to hack all that information. See? And the hackers, they use many devices, you know, to connect to the internet. See? You have to be careful because we are connected to the world. We are not of this world, but we are connected to the world. And we rush, you know, every day, elbows, elbows with unbelievers, may believers, with all kind of people. We are connected, but we are not of this world. So we should not love the world and the things of the world. Because when we do that, then we are connected, and that's all Satan needs, a connection. You know? So, what is the first signs? When you are being hacked, what is the first sign when Satan is trying to, you know, get into you and try to rob you of whatever he wants to rob you? You get a ransomware message first. So Satan also sent a thought to tempt you. See, I'm gonna see if this is gonna work. You know, he don't know if it's gonna work. But he's waiting for you to react. He will tempt you. You know, I'm going to send you a message. Let me see if he's going to open it and read it. You know, you got mail. I say, yeah, here goes. And he sees here and says, well, he's not acting on that. Man, what are you resisting me for? Well, so he has to leave. He said, well, I have to come around again, do something else. Then, if he cannot do that, make you on his side. You get a fake message with a virus on it. And today we have viruses, bacteria, we got all over the place and we all get sick. You know what he's trying to do? To weaken your body. You know, to weaken you to the point that, oh, I can go to church and I cannot go to, well, we go to work though. Or I cannot do this or I cannot do that. But who's in charge here? I'm not being insensitive, we get sick. But you don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept the box of rattles. Just send it back. You know, if you're sick, I understand you're sick, but you don't have to stay sick. In fact, you don't have to accept it. Because he's trying to weaken you physically then. Because when you're weak, then he can do something to you. That's what Brother Brown says. When you fast, don't fast for too long. You know, sometimes I used to fast 2-3 days a week. When I came to this message, you know why? Because your body gets weak. And Satan takes an opportunity. Like Jesus. Hey, you want to make those rock bread? Huh. But he could not make a mistake. He says, no. But you and I, you know, can you imagine? You're trying to fast for more than a day or so. And you get hungry. And then you start smelling the turkey. And you start, don't fast during turkey. Thanksgiving, that's a wrong point to fast. And you start smelling, you know, your body's weak. It's not perfect. So don't do it no more than maybe a day or so. Brown used to do it. So he sends a virus. Your body gets weak. Your immune system gets weak. And then what happens next? You open yourself for what? For a virus. For something to come. The same thing spiritually. If we are not feeding on that word every day, if we are not praying every day, like the Bible said, pray and fast, and not fast, but pray and read your Bible. You know what happened? If we are not eating the nutrients that come from the Word of God for a spiritual body, what's going to happen? Your immune system spiritually is going to go down. You're going to get sick. You're going to get stressed, depressed, and you're going to get all kinds of sickness because Satan don't want you to come to church to listen at who you are and what you are. Satan don't want you to know who you are because he's scared of that part. And he's trying to avoid, you know, doing everything he can for you not to find out. You have unwanted browser toolbars, you know, sometimes. You know? And Satan also, he manufactures some situations that are after your desire. He knows you more than you think he knows you. So you are browsing to YouTube in your phone, or you have YouTube, whatever. And then things start coming through there that you don't want to see. You cannot help it. Once you open YouTube, and I don't care what you're looking for, you know, there's all kind of stuff that comes in the site, you know. Pop up here and pop up there and everywhere. Why? He wants you to take it takes a glance. He knows that. It takes a glance. And even when you don't know you've seen it, your subconscious already saw it. So he's trying to do that, trying to send things, you know. And you have to be careful. That's what we tell the children. Beware what your little eyes are looking at. Because what you're looking at, that's what you become. What you eat, that's what you become. But Satan knows that. Satan knows this. He has 6,000 years to understand this body. So be careful what you're looking at. I know you're not doing anything wrong. You're just going to go to your email. But Satan is a tricky guy. See, that's why some people in this message, the one that put the message in the website, because all kind of garbage wanted to be attached to it. And you're looking at the message, and you got all these things attaching to it, you know, that you don't even want it to see to begin with. It's not what your goal was, but Satan knows, you know, that if you can just catch a glimpse of this thing going on here, you know, I might be able to lure you, you know, your mind. And when he gets into your mind, the rest of his history, if we accept it. Then he sometimes hackers what they do. Your internet searches are redirected. You know, sometimes you think you are talking to the right person and you're talking to the wrong person. You know, I got a letter from the DP, maybe last year. No, I got a call. I don't know how I got a call. Somebody, okay. And he said, you owe us, you are behind $1,000. Say, impossible. I said, that's impossible. I pay my bill every month. No, you all, and if you don't pay, we're going to do this, 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 and this. Okay, whatever, you know. We need to, okay, you want to pay, you can pay right now. Give us the information. Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, so I said, I'll call you later. So then I hung up, called the TP company directly. I said, I want to report a hacker, and I want to know if I owe you money. No, okay, everything is okay. So you have to be careful because sometimes you think you're talking to the right person and you're not. Internets are something that is not stable. It's not really straightforward, you know. You don't know who's watching you. I mean, I typed the word for the first time looking for, let's say, tents. You know, I'm going to go fishing and camping. I want a tent. Next time I open my browser, it's a bunch of tents, you know. They pick up all the information that you put out there
And they make a little profile of who you are and what you like and what you need and what you like to look at, what you like to do, how much fun you like to have with this, and that. And then they make a little package and they sell that to manufacturers, to Walmart, to Target, to everybody. And then they target you. And then you open your browser and, wow, how did they know I was looking for this? Well, they got your number and said that we'll do that to you. You know, you're just going around and thinking about God, and suddenly a thought comes in, whoa, you know, and he takes you away from your other thought because he knows what thought to send you. He knows what you like. He's been studying you and me for years and years. See? And he just likes to hack you from a daily prayer, from a daily reading. You know, he wants to hack you when you're meditating. That's what Brother Dove says. You start praying and Satan starts telling you, oh, wait, your beans are going to burn. Oh, you need to do this today. And you start thinking about other things. You know who is that, right? So Brother Doug says, stop. Stop. Make your list of all the things you need to do that day that you are worried about it, that you need to. And then when you get done, go back to your prayer. Because Satan is going to use all that. See, he already knows your makeup and your profile. So he's going to use that to lure you away from the things that are more important to you and me. That is the Word of God. There's nothing more important than our relationship with God. Sometimes your friend receives social media invitations from you that you did not send. So, young people, mainly you guys that go to school, that you got more people around you, you know, that can motivate you. You know, I can influence you. I'm at home in my bed. Nobody can influence me in my bed. Anyway, at least I think nobody can. So anyway, and I'm retired. I don't go to work. I just stay home. So I do things at the house. So I have less, you know, exposure to a lot of things. But you guys, when I used to go to school, be careful because you have a friend. And he thinks it's your friend. You think it's your friend. And he said, invite you to a little party. You know, we're going to have a party in such a house this weekend. We're going to have this, and this. And you said, but I don't drink. Oh, don't worry, we got root beer. No, I can do that beer. Yeah, don't worry, we're not going to be rowdy, and they're not going to be this and that. We're just going to have a good time. When you get there, the music is too loud, rock and music. Then you have drugs, and then you have alcohol, and then you have this, and then have that. See, be careful. Because somebody can send you an email, a media invitation to go places. Be careful, you got to discern the spirits. And Satan will do that. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, if you have friends like I had, they're going to insist. And they're going to call you, the last thing they will call you, you're chicken, you're scared. Then you want to be manly. No, I'm not scared, but well, let's go. Be careful, because Satan will not stop at no. He's very persistent. So, beware what kind of invitations you get. And from who you getting it. I don't care how nice they put it to you. Satan will put it real nice and cool. If it's cool, it's bad. Like he used to say, if it's bad, it's not good. Because that's the word they use today. Oh, that was bad. Well, it wasn't bad. It's good. Anyway, I don't know. They confuse me, children, with the lingos. No is no, and bad is bad, and good is good. Now today, you know, they switched. Satan is just bad anyway. Sometimes Satan wants to steal your online password. Isn't working. Sometimes our access to heaven it gets strong. Sometimes we forgot the password. Huh? What was the last time you prayed? What was the last time you read your Bible? You forgot your password. Huh? Can get connected to heaven. You know, God is not a God that you put in a niche there. When you need him, you bring him down. And when you don't need him, you put him back. You're going to forget your password. And you're not going to get an answer one of these days. And Satan is very, very slick, because he knows, we're going to talk about a little bit about distractions. He likes distractions. He likes to distract you from what is the real thing, what is the real thing that you're supposed to be doing. He likes to distract you. Every day, there's a lot of distractions out there. There's many voices out there. See, that's why the world system is in chaos today. Why? But Satan purposely is hacking. You know, China is hacking the government, the system. They're changing things, you know. They're destroying, you know, God's creation. Wars and all this is due to that. But it's not people, it's Satan. You know? They start hacking and start making America believe something that it's not, you know? And they're stealing all this information and they're selling it. It's a mess. I don't want it to get there. But that's how Satan do. This second Titus 3:5 says, Timothy. It says, having a form of godliness, this is how Satan hacks the church. He had hacked the church today. See? Having a form, it's a form. It's not the real thing. But who fault it is? That's what Satan wants to do. Get you into a form that is not a reality. And if you have a form, you never become the real thing. Because you're not looking at the real thing. You're looking at a copy. He said, but deny the power thereof. The power of changing. You know, the quick power. You know, like I said, that power that is going to change your life. See, they're denying that. From such what? Turn away. And that's how the Laodicean church got to. It got to the point that put Christ out of the church, the real thing. They put him out of the church, and they bought the what? The form. That's Satan at the 7-8 churches. But that's what he wants to do with you. He wants you to, you know, kind of take a form, be religious, go to church every time. You know, if that's where we come, and dress right, and put the right uniform, and say the right things. Well, that is fine. But that is not what is going to make us sons and daughters of God. That is not the reality. It is good to dress right. It is good to smell good. But, you know, that's not what is going to change you. So the Hebrew word for perish, if we don't have a vision, it says we perish. Now, Romans, Revelation 3:16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm, see, we came to the Laodicean church, corrupted completely, worshiping a copy, a form. That's how Satan had deceived the church. But he had not deceived us, see, because we got the truth. He lies to for you to worship him, but we are not going to worship God. He says, therefore it shall, he says, well, I jumped. But perish. Let me go to John 8:24. I think I left just no. Okay. Oh, I switched to them over there. Okay. Anyway, let's read Revelation 3:16. Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold of heart, I will spew you thee out of my mouth. You know what that means? I spew you. You're not hot and cold. That means you're not stable. One day we believe this, and the other day we believe that. We got one door in church, and we got the other door out of church. And a man is stable. You cannot put confidence on someone that is don't know which way he wants to go. Today I want to do this, but tomorrow I want to do that. They're not consistent, you know. So lukewarm means that they don't know what they want. One day they want this, and one day they want that. God cannot work with that, see. Now, John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. So without a vision, we people will perish. Without a vision of who God is and what he is and who you are, spiritually, I mean, we die. And the Laodicean church die. Why? Because they exchange God for a form of a God. And that's what happened when a man with no vision, see, is blind. It's just a blind leading the blind. And if they continue, they're going to fall. So no later. In a hole, said the Bible. Because they cannot prepare. They cannot anticipate, you know, any obstacle that Satan will put in their way. See? They lack vision. They lack understanding. They lack purpose. See? So they're not prepared. They don't prepare. One of these days, the coming of the Lord is going to come, and they're not going to be prepared. Why? Because they are not looking at the right thing. Satan has deceived them to see something else that is not real. So we find people that they drift away, you know, through the Christian journey. Brother Branham called him hitchhiking. The hitchhiker from church to church to church. Looking for what? Well, what you're looking for, if it's not inside you by now, you're going to waste your time looking at whatever you want to look for. See? Because what I'm looking for, I got. They're going to say, in the last day they said, here's Christ and there's Christ. I know where Christ is. I don't need to look anywhere. I don't need to be following this and following that and following this move and that move and that move. I know where Christ is. And I should be in revival. I don't need to go to a place to be revived. You know, I'm revived already. He is my life. So Satan likes to make believe, no, if we do this and we do that, you know, and he's Christ and that's Christ and that church is a little better. And, oh, that one is even better. Oh, what is your entertainment looks like on Sundays? Well, we don't have any entertainment. People want the music. There's nothing wrong with music because, you know, God can use music to heal. You know, David used to play his harp. Nothing wrong with music. Music is an atmosphere, but it's not sufficient. Because music only satisfies your, you know, flesh. But God will satisfy my soul completely. So I don't just want music. I want the whole enchilada. If not, I don't want any. And if I had to choose one, leave the music out, I choose the word of God. Because the music won't take me too far. But, you know, God will take me far enough that I want to go. Genesis, we're going to talk about positive a little bit more. We talked about the negative. Satan, let's talk about the positive side. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. So you want to be positive, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Satan will like for you to do that, and he knows how to do that. But walk in the spirit, walk in his word, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, so I'm free. If I'm free, I'm free indeed. Now, I will make mistakes. Sure, I'll make mistakes. But he is faithful to forgive me if I have a forgiveness. See? But I didn't make the mistake intentionally. I didn't wake up this morning, I'm going to rob a bank. I want to have $1 million. I didn't have that thought. But if I go and suddenly $1 million fall out of the bank, that was not my intention to rob a bank. You know? So it was not intentionally. Sometimes we make mistakes and we errors, but it's not intentionally. We got beguiled, you know, by Satan. You know, he worked all the situations so we can fall. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for thought we walk in the flesh. Every day we walk in the flesh. We came to church in the flesh, right? You cannot get away from the flesh. A flesh all around you. And we do not war after the flesh, though. It says on 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down what? Strongholds. So our battle is not flesh and blood. Okay? So the positive way to do is just forget about what you think, forget about your reasoning, forget about your logic. And let's just get hold to the word of God. That is a mighty weapon. It can take Satan in any time, any place, in any situation. He don't have a weapon that he can create that can destroy me. But I have one that I can destroy. It's going to destroy. He's going to be destroyed. So don't try to figure out how you're going to, you know, get out of this situation that sometimes we fall in, you know. Sometimes we you know, sin, and sometimes we do something wrong, and we do it again, and we say we're sorry. I'm not trying to figure out how. You cannot have to figure out anything. All you have to do is, you know, talk to God. Let him take care of your things. He wants to take care of you. He wants to take care of me. We are not match for the devil. This flesh is not match for the devil. So might as well forget it. You know, our fight is with the word. I was telling Elliot, we got that far, and he said, well, how are we going to fight spiritually if we cannot see? And then, well, what weapon? I said, you use the word of God. The word of God has more power than Satan. He said, all you have to do, if he sends you sickness, then you tell Satan, you know, you will not accept. He says, get behind me, Satan, that's all. And he has to obey the word of God if we believe it. I thought, that is your weapon, and that weapon Satan cannot fight against the word of God. See? Galatians 5:25, and we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. And you say, but that's hard to do. Yes, it's hard to do.
But it's not you doing it every day. It's God doing it. Surrender ourselves to God every day, every morning. Every time the situation happens, surrender to God. Be still. Know that I am God. This is not your fight. You know? You don't have to vindicate anything. God will vindicate his word. All you have to do is say, God said this, and let him vindicate the word. You cannot bring this word to pass. He will bring the word to pass. All you have to do is just speak and believe and let God then come in the scene. That's all. Ephesians 1:17 said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom. Here we a subject that we was talking on Sunday. This is for you adults now. Because it's all over the Bible. It says, give you the spirit of what? Wisdom. Revelation is understanding. And what? A knowledge of who? Of him. That is how you're going to become. That's how you're going to fight. See? By the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. This is what Brother Brown says. No man knows the things of God save the spirit of God. And he who to whom the spirit of God reveals them. So we need to call on God for what? Revelation. Understanding by revelation, the word, more than anything else in the world. You need more revelation. If you don't know what to do when you come to church, ask God for more revelation, for more understanding. Because you will never exhaust him. Anyway, he says, we have accept the Bible. We have accept the great truths of it. But it's still not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. What makes the word of God a reality is that the author of the Bible reveal it to you, tell you this is what that means. But that is done by the Spirit. Okay? Revelation is understanding. The word has not been quickened. See, you and I have, we already been quickened. Actually, the Spirit of God has quickened us. The same Spirit that was in God that quickened God from the dead, it is in us. So we already have been quickened. Now, we know the Bible says that. It cannot be denied, but the revelation of it is missing. Most of the denomination, they got the word. I'm not arguing with them when they start talking about the word. But by the revelation, the understanding is what kind of we fall apart. I cannot agree. Because it don't line up with the Bible. And how do I know? Well, I got certain understanding. Revelation. But the Spirit is not there. The word has not been quickened. Now, we know the Bible says that. It cannot be denied, but the revelation of it is missing. It is not real to the majority of God's children. Remember I told you that this word has to be more real to you than your own life? This word has to be more real to you than what you think, you know, you are anyway. God says, I believe what God thinks of me than what I think of myself. I think that is more real than what I can think. So he said, it's not real to the majority of God's children. It is just a good verse in the Bible, but we need to have it made alive to us. You're coming to church because you want that word to take what? Flesh. Because if the word don't become real to you, we had a good service. Adios. Next Sunday. You got to make your mind when we come to church, if you don't know what else to ask, ask God to give you a revelation of his word. Why? Because once you have the understanding and once you have the knowledge is the Bible, the word that you read, knowledge, but knowledge without the supernatural, without the revelation, you will have no wisdom. Wisdom comes, all young, I don't care. Wisdom comes by knowing his word and knowing what God meant about that word that is written. Then you can make a good decision. But without that, you can. You can choose to live the same way you have always done it. You can live and do the same thing every day the same way. You can come to church the same way every Sunday, every Wednesday, with the same mentality, with the same attitude. You can do the same thing every day the same way you do it. But, now forget everything that I said, but if that is not moving you towards your goal and towards your vision, towards your dream, you probably need to change. If you want to get different results, you need to change. And that's the problem. That some of us don't take corrections. But we continue to do the same thing the same way every day. They always done it. This is how I've done it always. They say, and how far have you gone now? That's what you need to figure out. Did I'm getting closer to God? Do I'm drawing closer to God? Or am I staying, I'm still in the same place? By the way, you never be still. There's no way anybody can be still and not go left or right. You can never arrive to an absolute zero. You know, minus one, one. You will never get a balance to stay still long enough. Well, to read, but we'll never get it in zero. It's either a little bit off. So either you moving forward or either you moving backwards. There's no such a thing. I am still. Nobody's still. Ask yourself this question. I want to ask you some questions to see if we can figure out the level, the measurement of your commitment, to see if you want to change. Do you want to be all what God wants you to be? Amen. This is what you need to do. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The power is in you to become what he said you can become. It's not up to God. God already provided you. God already equipped you with everything you need. Your decision is yours and mine to become that. See, don't blame God when things are going wrong. It wasn't God's fault. His word can never, never fail. Brother Ban says, if I pray for 500 people today and they all die, I pray for 500 tomorrow. Why? Because the word of God is never fail. Oh, but what about those 500? I don't understand everything. And I don't ask me. I will not explain you what happened. The only thing I know that if I pray, I will be healed. If I believe, I will be healed. But what happened with... No, that's what happened to the man that came to Brother Branham. And he says, you know, you pray for me. He prayed for him before, a few weeks, and then he felt better. Then he came back and says, I thought you said that I was healed. I'm sick again and I'm worse. And Brother Branham says, well, I thought you told me that you believed. So if you believe, you know, you should have been well. So the power is in you. See? And the power is the Holy Ghost to meet every challenge that is out there for you. So do you want to be all you want to be, all you could be, then start doing it. It's not me. It's not Brother Doug. It's not the church. It's not the music program. Or it's not the program that we don't have. What does that have to do with anything? The change already is in you. So you want to be whatever you want to be, then you draw from that fountain. Philippians 1:6. I'm sure of this, that he who started the work in you will carry that until what? To its completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that the one that began the work in you will perform it. So don't blame God. God started the work and you say, I will finish it. So if the work stops, who we need to blame? And if I pray for 500 they died, I will not blame God's word for that. I don't know what happened, but I will not blame God because God said it will work. God cannot fail. So we cannot blame God for all the mishaps that we have. Let's find out what went wrong and let's correct it. And they start looking inside. They start looking at blaming somebody else and somebody else, you know. Second, will you sacrifice yourself more to get better results? Are you happy where you are right now? If you tell me yes, that's okay. I'm not happy. I'm not happy until this thing is completely changed. I'm not happy with me. With this Eli, I'm not happy with. In fact, it makes me mad every day. I get angry with this guy. I hate this guy. Not the real one, this flesh. See? But when you sacrifice a little more, Brother Neil used to say, then when I used to go to the tabernacle, he says, you have gone as far as you're going to go. Until what? You sacrifice a little one more. So if you are comfortable and you are relaxed and this is it and I got what I wanted to get, then you don't. You determine. You are the one God is waiting on. We're not waiting on God. God already did everything he was going to do. We need to get off our, you know, and do what we need to do. Brother Man says, and when the service is closed, may we bow our heads and give praise to thee and worship thee and make ourselves ready. You have to make yourself ready, right? You got to dress yourself. He already provided the dress. He already provided everything you needed, the power and everything. So who's supposed to get dressed? Don't blame us if you're not getting dressed. That's why you come to church, so we tell you what to do and how to do what the word says. Look at the picture. This is what you're supposed to look like. We put the vision in front of you every Sunday. This is what we're supposed to look like. But I cannot make you do that. I'm responsible to tell you what he tells me, what you're responsible for doing, what the Spirit of God teaches you to do. He says, and worship thee and make ourselves ready as far as we can to go. We are not in the same level, but whatever place you find yourself, you need to move forward, you know? Right. It says, as long as you understand the word of God to that point, we don't asking you to go further than what God is leading you to. See, that's what we have to be, you know, patient and, you know, be with people that are not where we are, because they're not there yet. God has to reveal what he revealed to you, he has to reveal to them. And if they're sons and daughters of God, they will get the revelation. Just be patient. Why don't we pray and we tolerate until they grow to that same place that we are. Make ourselves ready as far as we can to go and to serve you. To serve what? God. And to do everything that we know that is in our power, thus to do right. You know what to do right? I don't have to tell you. Permit this to us tonight, Father. Thou grace and in the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this thing. So, how far are you willing to go? You satisfy. I'm not. I will not be satisfied until this body will change. This body had to change to that vision that I got in me. Now, this is the tough one. Will you remove distractions that keep you away from the word of God? Jesus says, Hebrews 12:1-2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, surrounded, you know, we are surrounded about with a great cloud of witness. We have testimonies. Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. See, testimony to the truth, what God has done. We are without excuse. He says, let us lay aside every what? Weight. That's a necessary thing. If you think God bless you and give you a new car or give you a new job and you can come to church, I don't think that will be a blessing to me. Because God will bless you so you can what? Be a blessing and continue growing. But if you ask for something and he don't keep you, you know, honest and don't keep you coming to church and doing the thing that God wants you to do, praying, but I'm too tired, you know, work all day, I don't think I would take another job. It says, let us set aside every weight, unnecessary things, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, sometimes we get all bogged down and entangled in things. We're not doing it, you know, we're not sinning, you know, we're not sinning like something real bad, but sometimes we let things to box down and entangle us in life. Satan knows how to get you entangled in something. See? And let us run with patience. You have to have endurance, steady, persistent. You have to be stable. You have to be consistent.
You know, you cannot do it. Well, can you imagine you're going to run a marathon and, well, you know, when is it? Oh, next year in November, whatever. Oh, okay, I wait until maybe July, maybe after the heat, and then I start practicing. You will make it. You have to do everything that it takes, you know, to run the race. The race, the journey that we are on, the course that God has put us. See, that he said before, looking unto Jesus, see, away from all distractions. If you're still looking unto Jesus, you're going to be distracted. Satan will distract you. He will put things in left and right in your way to detour you. But keep your eyes on that goal. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He is the source and finisher of our faith. He will bring us to maturity and he will bring us to perfection. The only thing we have to do is keep our eyes on him. Don't let distraction come. That was said before him. And he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. All of the things that are more fun are removed. Brother, what do you want to take our fun away? No, go to church Wednesday, go to church Sunday, and Bible studies. I mean, you're taking away all my fun. Well, distractions. Satan likes to stimulate your brains with distractions. It's all kind of distractions available at your fingertips. Oh, let me go to the YouTube and see the funny cat and dog videos. Oh, that's nothing bad. That's not critical. That's not a sin. Then you go to YouTube and sometimes you start, oh, I got an extra Instagram. Somebody sent me. Then we go to Instagram and and we start scrolling all the way. Then we go to Facebook. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, wait, I got to check my email. See? Every 7 seconds you check your email. So you wasted maybe 20 minutes. Now, multiply that by 7 times 7 that you do during the day. Add how many times do you use to do all that. Don't you think that those things are distractions? I mean, I like technology. But if I'm going to, you know, be distracted by the videos and the Instagram and the message and the Facebook, that I'm spending more time in those things that I'm spending to do what really needs to be done. I know it's hard to resist sometimes. We got so adjusted to technology. I hate to say this, but I see some of you in church, you open your phone to take a look at something, I don't know, and then you close it again. Well, I turn mine off and put it in my briefcase. I don't need to know who calls me. And I don't want nobody to call me. And if they call me, I don't have time for it. Because I am communing with God. I don't need to see my phone during the service. I'm not mad at you guys. You do what you want. Maybe if you have an emergency and somebody's at home and you're waiting for a call. Things are right. I'm not saying that. But for any other reason, why do we need to open a phone? But let me see how. I just looking at the time to see how long I've been here. Well, you want to know how long you've been here? But this, anyway, you understand what I mean? I turn my phone off. And if somebody call me, they wait until I finish. Even my own children, I tell them, they know, oh, you in church, sorry. I don't answer anything until I'm out of church. Unless, of course, it's amazing. Somebody's pregnant, having a baby, and the husband, okay. Somebody got in an accident, okay. I'm not saying that. There are some things that sometimes we need to take care of. But this kind of distraction sometimes look more enjoyable, more exciting than the task that is at hand sometimes, you know? Or the work that we have to do at home. And therefore, you know, they are more appealing. Why? Because they are more fun. But actually, it could be a distraction. I'm not saying that it's a sin, it's a distraction. Because if you're taking more time out of your daily day, and you go to bed now and I'm tired, and you open your Bible finally. I do that sometimes. Open your Bible, open your phone, because I got my Bible in my phone.
And then suddenly you say, I don't know what's wrong with me. Every time I open my Bible to read, I go to sleep. Well, don't wonder your body's tired. Looking at these phones and looking at the computer. Now you're exhausted mentally. Now you're going to read the Bible? Do it in the morning before you even start doing all these things. You know, do it when you sit in lunch, you know, that at least you it's your time for eating. But, you know, all day long, I get exhausted mentally. Oh, enough of that stuff. Now, what activities should we be doing so we can generate the right results? If coming to church is not one, then shoot me. Because I'm right. Psalms 119:11 says, the word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. See, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, having family altar, Sunday school, Bible studies, outreach program. See, we don't have time for that. Sometimes you are young couples married with children, you should have a family altar. I do. When I was raising and I came into this message, I would sit my three kids in living room. I opened the Bible and wife and I would sit and we read the passages and we say a few things and then, what do you need prayer, mijo? What do you need prayer? And we pray. It don't have to be lengthy. It don't have to be 2 hours like here. But really, really we want to have results and we are too distracted. We want result, but we don't want to do what it takes, sacrifice out the time to be what I'm supposed to be. So, will you commit to being a new creation the way God envisioned it, the way you envisioned it? Will you commit to that? Ephesians 1:17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom, we talked about revelation, and knowledge of who? Of him. I told you kids, you know, young people, Sunday night, you know, you know a lot. You know more than I do. You have knowledge, and you understand a lot of things that I understood when I was your age. But you have no wisdom. I got wisdom now. But it takes wisdom, but you need to know the right things and you need to know the right, you know, word of God to make that decision. Behold, I send to you 4 sheep and the midst of wolf. Be ye therefore wise. How can you be wise? Know what the Bible says. Have a revelation of that, what God spoke to you, and then you can make a choice. And you will make the right choices if you make it based on those 2 things. Brother Man says, no man know the things of God save the Spirit of God. And I read you this one. It says, for revelation more than anything, it is, but it's still not real to most people because they don't have a revelation to the Spirit. It's not there. The word has not been quickened. And I read you this before, but I read it again. Now we know the Bible says that. It cannot be denied, but the revelation is missing. It's missing. If we don't have a revelation of what God wants, how can we do it? God will tell you what he wants and how he likes it. And it's wise, if we know the word and what he wants, choose that. Will we choose the narrow way or we shoot the big, the narrow or the big one, the wide? Well, I know which one I choose. I already have an understanding. Why do I need to choose the narrow? See? But we need to have a better life. Let me conclude. Wow, I took a long, no, I'm really fine. I wrote unto you, church, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? Preeminence. He needs to have preeminence. Either he's in control or he's not. Either he has it all or he has none. He wants it all. He wants your time. He wants your everything that you own, he wants it all. In fact, he gave it all to us. It belonged to him. My life belonged to him. My home belonged to my children. I don't have anything. Everything that I have, he gave it to me. So don't you go and return it back to him. by giving him the preeminence. I wrote unto you, church, but the whatever his name, who love to have the preeminence among them, receive us not. So not everybody wants to have God as an authority. That is the fight. Authority. Either God is in authority or he's not. But according to the, not everybody, or not all the churches are under authority. And I'm not here to tell you. I'm not the judge of who is and who isn't. I just want to be under authority. I want the church to be under authority. Doing the same thing, the same way, see, and expecting some positive results is insane. And the same thing is true for Christians. In our walk with Christ, we need to have a vision. See, we need to know the word of God. We need to have knowledge of the word. And we need to have understanding, revelation. And then we have wisdom to do the right things according to the purpose and the will that God has called us. You see? God's vision manifested. That is our goal. That is my vision. I want his word to be manifested in me. That is my goal. When I come to church, I don't want nothing but that I will change. I don't care if it's a little bit, but I want that word to change me to that vision, that Son of God that he's looking at, that we're looking at. Because then, later on, God wants you to be an open letter. This world are going to look for God, and they're looking for God. They're looking. And the only place they're going to see God, what the Bible said, is going to be in the church. So it behooves you to be the good representative of who God is. And that's what you are. You are the God to this generation. They are looking for something, and you got it. And God wanted to put that in display. So the reason we are becoming his word, because God wants the world to know. You know, God didn't need it, me and you. He could have done it with angels. He could have done it that way. But God decided that he wanted to use man. See? He wanted to use your hands, your eyes, everything. He said, do you know that you are an open and unveiled letter from God to the world? That's what you are. You are a letter that the world can read. How can they going to learn about God? You. How can they learn about God if we don't manifest God in our flesh? We could become open books. Galatians 2:5-25. As we live in the Spirit, let us walk in what? In the Spirit. We can choose to live the same way we have and we always done. We can choose that. This is good enough, brother. I don't know what you're talking. I come to church and every Wednesday and every Sunday, and I read my Bible and I pray. So what do you want? What else you want me to do? Well, I want you to check your life, examine your life, and tell me if tonight, after tonight, you move forward or not. That's all. I need to do the same thing. I need to check. You know what bothers you, and you know what bothers you. You know what God needs to get rid of. I mean, you know you more than anybody else. So you know when God is working on you. I don't, because I don't know what you need. I don't know what your problems are, but I know God knows. You can tell if you just made another step forward or not. I don't know that. Unless you tell me, you testify, and the word came and this happened, then I know. But in the meantime, it's just you and God. You and God. But if we are not moving forward, we're not moving towards our goal, then we need to change so we can get different results. And that's why we come to church, so the word of God can change us, transform us. So, do not live for tomorrow what you can do today. You know, procrastinating is the worst thing, it's the worst distraction that it is. Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Pastor, but what? Well, I'm not ready. You know, that's the greatest distraction in it, procrastinating. Do not leave, what you need to do today for tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make it through the night. So how can you leave something for tomorrow when you don't even know what's going to happen? They work on it tomorrow, as far as I know. Maybe I take off right now and I get in an action. That's the end of that. It is now. It says, John 2 Corinthians 6:2 says,
For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. When you hear the word, and God's speaking to you, that is when you have to make a decision. Because if you procrastinate, it is Satan trying to deceive you. In telling you, no, you have some time, don't worry. Young people, don't wait until you are my age to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord in your youth. That's what the Bible said. Now that you have energy, now that you have health, now that you have vigor, and serve the Lord. 16:14, John, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. That's Jesus was talking. The Holy Spirit will take from him, will give to you. And what was the reason he wants to give this to you? So you can glorify what? Him. How do you glorify God? The same character that was in him, it will manifest in you. Amen. You know, that's your daddy. You can stand. I'm almost finished. Rise up to your feet. You want to be like daddy, right? And I was small, I wanted to be like my father, and I still wanted to be like my father. That was my hero. But now I got another hero, and I want to be like him. So the only way I can do that is that I learn of him and I act like him, right? That is the honor that you bring to your family. That's what I was telling the children and the young people. Honor your family. Honor your father. That's what the Bible said. Mother, honor them. And if you go to school and you do something wrong, don't think that mom and daddy will never know that. So you don't have to apologize to mom and dad. Even if you apologize to whatever. I was about 16 years old when I had my license already. I was driving already. In Puerto Rico, you can have it at 14 permit, and about 16 you can have a license. I was driving at 14 years old. So I thought I was smart, you know. Like you guys, you think you're smart anyway. So I asked my father, I said, let me borrow the car so I can go to church. And I was going to church. I wouldn't lie. I would not even lie, my father. So he was skinning me anyway. So I said, I want to go to church. They have a Bible youth Bible study, and I want to go. After I heard the speech, I always had to hear speech. I mean, my father would give me speech for everything. So I had to endure the speech, and then money don't grow on time. What do you think that car? Okay. Finally, he gives me the key. So I took off, and I went to the Bible study. I did went straight to church, Bible study. And one of my friends, after the Bible study, said, come on, let us go to the movie theater. I said, movie theater. I never go to movie theater. Let's go to the movie theater. I said, why? It's almost 9 o'clock. There's no movies. Probably done by now. No. It's at the end. And because it's at the end, it's free. Yeah, it was. Because nobody was there. And at the end, they let you in. That's why you go in. I said, no, I got to go home. I told my father. Then he put it so good. You know, Satan is always, you know. No, he will never find out. Come on. Let's go on. And then we do it, and you don't have to tell us. You don't tell. Okay, so we went. He convinced me. I went, parked right in front of the movie theater. We went in. We cut out the end of the movie. Yeah, the way he said it. Perfect. Well, I said, go home now. I got home. Everybody was in bed. It was about 9. I went to bed. And everything was pitchy. And I got, you know, I got with that one, you know. So what I didn't know is that I got a ticket, parking ticket, when I was parked. Yeah, I seen it. I took it, and I just threw it in the glove. But you see, I got so much wisdom, you know, smart, so nobody will find out. Well, the thing is, that car is not registered to me. It's not registered to my father. So you know who is going to get the letter? Not me. So he's going to find out, but I am here. So when I find out that, I went to my mother, and I plead to her, please,
Here's a letter. Pay this thing. Don't let my father. And she said, okay, I'll take care of it. Well, that's what she told me. But then next thing I know, my father called me in the room. He said, don't think you're going to get away because you don't know everything. You think you know everything. I used to take the car. Then after that, my father would not trust me. That's why you lose trust. Trust. If you don't do the right things and you don't ask for forgiveness, people will not trust you. So I left one day. My mother wanted to go someplace, and so I took her. But I left her there with my aunt and my mom brother, and I took across the island. And then I came back and did what I wanted to do. And then went and came back, picked up my mother, and I got home about 12 o'clock at night. I don't know. So my father calls me the next day. See, I'm trying to be smart. You know, he will never find out. And he says, where will you go? I said, what are you talking about? I'm still lying to myself. What are you talking about? Well, you know, when you left the house, I put down the mileage of the car. Oh, my goodness. You know, he was smarter than me. Give it to him. He experienced life before, but I don't. So I thought I was smart. So this is how much mile is from here to this house, and you went around that island at least once. I said, well, you know, I got caught. So don't think that because you do something someplace, you know, that your mom and dad are not there, that they never will find out. You need to tell them. So no, next time they won't sidetrack them, you know, with letters and somebody called the house. You know what happened? Somebody's looking always. And today that you got cameras everywhere. So be wise. Confess your faults to one another. Why would you want to wait until, I don't know what, why do we want to wait? If something happened to between you and another brother and another sister, make it right away. You know, you say, well, nobody's going to find out, but God already find out. God already knows. And later on, you know, you don't know how far that's going to go. If it wasn't your intention and your motive, just tell them, you know. Sorry, forgive me. That's not what my motivation and intentions was about. Don't try to think that we are smarter than God. God is, you know, it's perfect. We are not perfect. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next minute. I cannot figure out life. I cannot figure out life. Because I do something and life is, trust me, another curve. Because I didn't see that coming, see? And you can't. You're not perfect. Parents are not perfect, neither young people. They make mistakes. They do make mistakes. But this is what I tell my children when they say, well, you told me and didn't happen. I tell them, listen, I make the best decision with the information that I had at that time and all the things that I knew, my knowledge, you know, about God and what he wants. I did a decision. But then the information changes. But I make a decision, and now the information changed, and my decision is not as good as I thought it was going to be. But at this time it wasn't my fault. I made a decision based on what I had. So, yes, life throws you curves. So what you do? You apologize because we're not perfect. We're trying to, you know, with God's help, we are trying to raise our families. Honesty, you know, sincerity between us and our families is what we need. Young people, be honest, be sincere. Honor your father and your mother. Respect them. Respect them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have. Father, rejoicing in your word. Father, being sitting at your feet. As you taught us, Father, the things that we have to know, the things that we need so we can move forward, so we can have results in our life. And the result that I'm looking and we're looking for is that your word will be manifested more and more and more in our life, Father. We want you to come, Father, and take over. We want to surrender. We want to yield our members to you, Father. As the Bible says, Father, we want to come as a living sacrifice, Father, acceptable to you, acceptable in all ways, Father. We don't want to have any shortcomings, any sin, anything that we have. We have to ask you, forgive us, Father, because we want to come with a clean mind, a sincere heart, honest, Father, to you, because we want to be all that you want us to be, Father. Father, that is my desire. My desire is your desire in my life. And Father, thank you
for your word. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your training. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in our life, because you want us to make it. Satan wants to stop. Satan wants to destroy. Satan wants to deceive. But thank you, God, because you put a vision in front of us. You have sent a prophet with a revelation. Father, to tell us who we are, what we are, and what we're supposed to be. And we want to be that, Father. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we go through situations. Sometimes all kind of things come to our life. But one thing is for sure. You started the work, Father, and you will finish it. We're just going to have to do our part, the part that we are responsible for. And that part, we know what it is. Father, let that word come. Let that word, Father, come to our life, and let us become that word, Father. We surrender to you tonight. We yield our members to you. Father, like Mary said, do unto us. And that's what we need to do. Just surrender to you completely, Father, and let you finish the work that you started. Father, we love you and we thank you, and we ask you to go with your little body here tonight as we dismiss. Keep him and protect him, Lord. Bless him. Be with our pastor, Father, and return us all together. Again, Father, we still be in this sad time. Next time we have church, Father, so we can rejoice for the things that you do in our life, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you for giving us, Father, life, for giving us, Father, strength, for giving us what we have need to journey to this life, Father, from here to heaven. Father, in that day, nobody will glory. Because if we make it, it's because you are the one. You are the one, Father, that deserve all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for the work you're doing in our life, the work you're doing in this church. Father, thank you. In days as rough and as they are, as demanding, Father, and chaos and all the things that are happening, Father, he's a little group. He's a little group that wants to do what's right, Father. It's a little group that loves you and wants to worship you, praise you, and give you honor and praise, Father, for all the things that you have done, Father. You are such a good God, faithful to your word. Father, we love you, we thank you, and if you still tarry to come, I ask you to watch over us, Father. Keep us, protect us, Father. Cover us with your word, Father, and help us, Father, continually, every day, every minute, every hour, Father, to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Father, we want to fulfill your word, good and faithful. Welcome in the joy of the Lord. We want to be faithful to your word, faithful to all the things that we do. Reading your Bible, praying, coming to church. We want to be found faithful, doing those things that you ask us to do. Father, if there's any thing the Bible says worthy is to do good, have a good report, to love one another, Father, in those things we need to think in your word, because there's nothing good beside that. And we want to do those things, Father. Those things that are good and acceptable to you every day. We love you and we thank you, Father, for this time. Time of refreshment. I know in our bodies we get tired. We work, we get tired. I understand. We are always, Father. These bodies are weak. And they get weak after a while, Father. But thank you for your strength, Father, tonight to stand and to listen at your word, Father, because your word is more than food to us. And we thank you. We love you. And now we depart from one another, but not from your presence. In Jesus' name we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. See you next year. This is my last sermon of this year.
I better not say ever because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I got plans and I pray that the Lord will, you know, make me a way. So pray for us as we journey and then have a good December, Christmas, New Year's, and eat a lot of tamales.